Niagara Files from the National Security Agency is the topic of the discussion today. Linda Berger and Joseph Witt of the National Security Agency here. And I thank you both for coming in today. Linda, I'm going to start with you. Tell me about the development of Niagara Files and what opening you saw that this program is able to fill. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having us. This is a fantastic opportunity. And so I can speak to the development of the process of how we release this technology through the technology transfer program. And Joe can speak to the development of the technology itself. So previously, this is not the first time that NSA developed or released open source software into the community. We've done other things in the past, security-enhanced Linux, security-enhanced Android, and Accumulo projects, as well as Red Hawk and a software-defined radio technology. But those were kind of one-off, directorate independent efforts that individuals led. And what we've done now is we realize that this is an area in which we're going to be more actively engaged in doing more contributions to the open source community. So we needed to develop a scalable corporate process to do it. So my predecessor, Marion Roach, the previous director, worked with our attorneys in the Office of General Counsel, or OGC, to develop a process that everyone in the agency could use to go through this process administratively and check all the boxes that we have to do internally. An analogy I'll use is like it's walking through a snowdrift. So Joe is our first person through the snowdrift with his guide, Karen Presley, our IP portfolio manager. And so they have forged the path for everyone else coming behind them so that we can get through this. And we're literally forging the path and you know, just keeping it open so that we can move things out to the public more readily.
You said this is an area that you realize this was an area where you'd be more actively engaged, the open source community. Why is that? What drove that, do you think?
So part of that, and this comes from our senior leadership at the agency, they're realizing that this is a space where, you know, we need to be able to collaborate more readily with the broader community. And open source software releases give us that opportunity where we are putting code out there, putting ownership into the public domain, and then hopefully building communities around it.
Joe, thank you as well for coming in today. What's the technology behind this? How does this work, and how do you interact with the community? How did you develop it to get it ready for release, all of that? Thank you for being here.
Sure. Thank you for having me. Just sort of the context of the project is connecting systems, just fundamentally, right? And so if you think of all of the big data challenges that organizations are facing, like ours and others, we have a need to be able to get systems that create data, and systems that process that data and systems which store that data to all be able to communicate effectively and efficiently. And so as a sort of small organic activity throughout the enterprise, really, NiFi just sort of grew up. We started out just solving very tactical problems that we saw, weren't really looking at it as a big enterprise story. But over the period of 8 years and through the collaboration of a lot of people, a lot of developers throughout the agency, it grew into supporting very large scale enterprise problems. And that's the point when we realized, hey, this is something that's sort of growing beyond what we had really envisioned, almost in a if you love it, set it free sort of mentality. Wanted to make sure that it got out into the open source community so that we could continue to see it mature beyond even what we could do ourselves, as well as the fact that the software is frankly comprised of a lot of other open source components as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's also a sort of give back component to that as well.
What's the give and take like when you're using pieces of things that are out there and combining that with things that you've developed inside the agency? And then what's that, the relationship part like with the other elements of the open source community? Because you've essentially become part of it yourself, right?
That's right. And one of the key things for people to understand is in the case of how we open source NiFi itself is NSA granted the code base to the Apache Software Foundation. And so it's important for people to appreciate that NSA no longer owns that code, right? They have effectively donated it to the Software Foundation. And so at this point, we are members of the community on equal standing with anyone else. And that's a really important thing to understand because it means we're not sort of necessarily controlling the direction it's in. We're just an influencer like all of the rest of the community. That process is also very freeing, right? Because it allows other people to come in and contribute. It allows more innovation, better ideas. It also makes what we've developed be able to contribute back to what other folks are developing as well, just like we benefited from the open source community initially.
Has there been some apprehension when you go to the open source community and say, we're the National Security Agency and we're here to help, essentially, we have this contribution we want to make?
I think the perspective for us is we're not coming as the National Security Agency, right? We're granting a code base to the Software Foundation, and then we are acting as members of the community like anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly with Apache, it's not about your corporate tie or your entity that you're a part of. You have an interest in that project, and you contribute to that project, as does everyone else.
And a piece I'd like to add with that is, as a federal laboratory, we have an obligation to move our technologies into the public domain and into the marketplace. So this is another way that we can move things out of the laboratory and into the marketplace. And so there's that piece of that, and we have, you know, lots of individuals willing to engage with us in this space. And so we're very happy.
So do you expect, now that you've moved Niagara Files into the open source community, do you expect to see developments, enhancements, whatever, that will benefit you, that you'll be able to pull back out of that? Or is it now it's free and it can go and do whatever, live however it lives, but what we've got is how we expect to see it continue?
Absolutely. That's sort of a core part of the value proposition, right? Because there is an upfront effort to open sourcing, right? There's a long process to make it happen. And then you also have to help seed the community, right? Simply putting it out there is not going to make it be successful or useful or get people interested.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be the initial part of that community, right? Seed the project. When people have questions, you need to answer them. And so, we absolutely hope that in open sourcing it and in providing support to that community, that the community grows and becomes sort of its own. Initially, though, we certainly have to invest a lot of energy to make that possible.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a coder, and I'm looking at this code, and I see that there's a possible capability that I can develop onto it that I think would be useful for you or somebody else that I know is using this. How does somebody come about presenting that to you to say, I have developed this? How does that work in this community?
The nice point is they don't have to come back to us because, as Joe mentioned, we have donated this code into the open source community, and so they will come in through the Apache Foundation, and you can speak to that better than I can probably, Joe, as to what that process is.
Right. The Apache Software Foundation, which is what we open sourced NiFi through, has a very well-defined, very well-established process to provide the sort of ecosystem and environment you need for an open source project to be born and to thrive and sort of grow. And so in that sense, the path for any software developer from any background or whatever their interest may be is really clear. And to Linda's point, it's not about, again, in that case, it's not about the NSA. It's about that community.
Uh-huh.
We just happen to be a member of it at this point.
It's a fascinating way of development. And I imagine if you tried to procure something like this through the traditional development process, you wouldn't be able to do it nearly as quickly. It would probably cost you a lot more money, and you probably wouldn't know at the end of it that you'd have the product that you started with at the very beginning. Is that fair to say, do you think, Linda?
You are absolutely correct on all those points. We can develop the technologies in an agile environment using open source code as a starting point, and then it costs less. We know that we're getting exactly what we want. So it's very good. It's an agile development methodology, which we're adopting and using, and it helps us develop things more rapidly at lower cost for the government.
You've talked about a couple of the other open source things that you've rolled out. At what point in the development, well, maybe there's not a set way to do it. Is there a set piece through the development of code where you say, okay, now it's ready when we get to this stage, or is each project completely different when you decide this is ready for prime time?
It depends on the project, and what we're sharing with individuals inside now is that kind of start with the end in mind sort of thing, where it's like, if you're going to be letting a contract and working with folks to develop something, this has to be one of the original things or very early stage things that you think about is, are we going to open source this technology? Mm-hmm. And if we are, then we're going to make sure certain clauses are in contracts so that we have the intellectual property rights that the government's going to require as we move it that way. So we're just trying to get people to think about it early.
Mm-hmm. You said you detailed some of the others that you've done, and my notes say that this is the first in a series of in-house releases. What else do you have on tap? What kinds of things do you expect to bring out?
So because they're not all the way through that process, that forged trail through the snowdrift. Those will be coming through soon, and when they come out, we'll be able to speak about those publicly.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, NiFi is the one that's publicly out there. We have another one that's almost ready to talk about, and a few more in the queue. But as NiFi is kind of an infrastructure networking technology, you know, that's, you know, makes sense that we're in that space.
How do you decide that this is the way that you want to do something rather than we're going to do a traditional procurement process? I imagine there are some projects where that's appropriate and where that's maybe even necessary for some projects. How do you decide which is which?
I'll start with that. And can we buy it on the shelf?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a COTS product? Can we buy it? If we can buy it, we're going to do that. Or is it something that somebody has a capability or an expertise in this area, a contractor that we could perhaps procure their services and develop something quickly?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at that. And then, and if we can't, then maybe we develop it in-house. And the other piece of that is, are we going to patent the technology,
mm-hmm.
or are we going to open source it? Are two different paths that we can take with the intellectual property that have to be decided early on as well. So with the open sourcing of content, we can get it out there faster. It's different. We won't be able to license that technology, but it's just two different paths we can take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would come at that in a little bit of a different angle, right? So for the agency, my job is to connect systems. It's not to build NiFi. It's not to build some specific software. It's to make the systems be able to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I've spent the last 8 years and worked with a lot of people in building this particular project, we need to know that we're on the right track, right? We're building critical infrastructure that needs to last for a long time and meet the needs for a long time. And so open sourcing it gives us an opportunity to also get feedback, right? We might believe we're doing the right thing in our own world, but this allows us to open it up for criticism, contribution, whatever that may be. All of which helps us inform and make better decisions going forward about, do we continue to build this project?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to be doing something else? Is there already commercial solutions or open source solutions which would have or which do at this point meet the need? And so this allows us to get that feedback, which we need to constantly be reviewing.
Linda, you mentioned the decision as part of this process of deciding whether it's something you want to patent or something mm-hmm. you want to go open source. What are the contributors to making that decision? What are the things that you think about that would cause you to go one way versus the other?
So ultimately, we'll let that up to the technical group to make that decision which way they want to take it, but the speed at which it needs to be in place and out there that we're using it, and it makes a difference. Or is it something where we want to be the only ones to have this capability? Because a patent is an exclusionary tool. So if we have that, then there are only going to be certain people who can do that and do that technology, where open source is a very collaborative, open process. So I think those things, that, you know, timing is a big issue. And then with government software, it's not something we can copyright. So government employees can't have copyright. So that's not an option open to us. But the method of doing a certain technique is something we can. So I think the biggest factor is timing.
Joe, do you do all of these, all of the pre-development in-house, or do you collaborate with partners in industry, or what are those relationships look like?
In the case of this particular project, the development that we did was all in-house. Like I said, we do benefit from a lot of open source technology. So in a sense, you can think of that as a form of collaboration,
mm-hmm.
Albeit indirect. But for this particular project, it was in-house developed.
Mm-hmm. And does that change again? Is that something else that changes from project to project, depending on the capabilities that you have and when you do assessments of what's available? Or is that pretty consistent in the way that you've developed these open source projects?
In my experience, it varies greatly. It really just depends on the problem space. For us, what we do in the data flow world doesn't have any sort of sensitive nature to it, right? It's connecting systems. Everybody does this. Every industry has these kinds of challenges. And so for us, this was a path that could work well.
Mm-hmm.
There certainly may be other projects that can't take the same path we did.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about IP. We've hit on mm-hmm. it a little bit so far, Linda. Obviously, when you donate the code, that's right. It for intellectual property. You're
right.
Done with that.
Right.
Are there IP implications in the development process, knowing that it's going to go open source at some point anyway? So how does that stack up before you release it to everybody?
So that goes back to, if we have contractors involved with the development effort, we have to make sure that the correct clauses are in place in those contracts so that the government has the rights that we need to be able to move that out into an open source environment. And as we operate in different environments, whether it's Apache or GitHub or wherever it is, if there's additional licenses or whatever their requirements are to operate in those communities, we need to make sure that those line up with what our intent is with this product.
I want to go back, Joe, to the core of this, something you said a moment ago that strikes me. Maybe sometimes people in agencies and the people like me who cover them, we get ahead of ourselves. You said the point was not to develop NiFi. The point is to connect networks and connect information. How does that thinking about the end result, as Linda talked about earlier, affect the way that you'll go about projects that you work on in the future? Not the specific details of them, but just more the worldview, the philosophy about how you think about doing something, rather than saying, okay, our goal is to design a program. You're thinking more about the long term, the big picture goal.
Right. I would actually connect your last two questions to that same spirit. So, you know, you asked about the emotion of going down this track.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't look at it as, hey, we're putting this code out there. We looked at it as we have this critical piece of our infrastructure, that we want to see mature and grow. And it's beyond what we can do by ourselves. It will be better with contribution, critique, collaboration. And so open sourcing it for us was part of a long-term play, not a short-term, hey, we're done, let's put it out kind of view. We've certainly learned a great deal. When we started, the open source side was never part of the equation. We had a problem to solve, and so we solved it. But now we're looking long-term. And we've certainly, in my own case, I've learned a great deal about, you know, you've asked the IP questions. I learned a great deal about what goes into how you need to think about structuring contracts and how you need to set up the team, how you need to handle requirements in general, the idea of where you do the software development, right? Whether it's in a closed environment or whether it starts open to begin with. Those are all really important questions that I think we're going to have to continue to work through, you know, speaking to the tech transfer process that Linda's describing.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly think it's best if projects can decide early that they want to go down this route because it makes the process perhaps more straightforward.
Is it more difficult to change horses in the middle of the race if you decide you're doing it one way and you go, you know what, this wasn't, we maybe should have thought about this differently. It's, we want to switch. Does that, what kind of problems does that present?
So in our case, you know, we didn't have the benefit of knowing sort of what this would grow into.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for us, I would say we didn't have a choice. Now, hindsight being what it is, I absolutely think it would have been great to start in an open environment to begin with, right? It's not like the vision changed dramatically over the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just our the maturation of the project has. And so there absolutely is a cost once you go from sort of a closed source environment to transfer to an open source environment. So if you're going to get there, starting there certainly is, you know, cheaper, if you will.
We've talked about the project itself. I want to wrap up by talking about the post project. Once you had this out there, and I imagine there was some kind of self-assessment process that you went through to say, how did this work? What would we do different next time? What lessons did we learn from doing this? What was that process like, Linda?
My blunt answer is it's a rough process because this was the first time through.
Mm-hmm.
So it will mature over time as well and smooth out, as you know, so there won't be as many bumps or whatever as we go through it. So we have administrative processes we have to get through so that we know that this is something, all the code is something we can release. You know, we have to get individuals from public affairs involved. I mean, it's a whole symphony orchestra thing going on behind the scenes of all the collaboration and operations that have to go together to move something out the door like this. So now that we've been through it once, like anything, you know, it'll be easier the next time and the next time. And each person through that path, it becomes wider and easier to navigate. And so it's going to, we've definitely been taking everything that we've learned along the process and incorporating it into the new way we're doing it.
Joe, as you looked back on this project after you released this, what did you and your team look at and say, wow, I'm glad we did it that way. That turned out really great.
In terms of the decision to open source?
Any of the entire process, any of it.
So I think the smartest thing that we did, going back to the very beginning, was build this project in a way that would allow us to release it. meaning build it so that the core concept and capabilities are releasable by nature. A lot of projects don't have that distinction, and so it becomes difficult to open source or separate them. And frankly, it becomes very costly to do.
Mm-hmm.
For us, that was very easy because we always started with a mentality of making it releasable, even if we didn't know whether we ever could.
Mm-hmm. Final thoughts, Linda?
I would love to have the opportunity to mention that we have recently been notified by the Federal Laboratory Consortium, which is the Professional Association for Federal Lab Tech Transfer Offices, that we are one of the recipients of their Excellence in Technology Transfer Award.
Congratulations. Well,
thank you for the past year. With our licensing of our Wireless Intrusion Detection System, or WIDS, patent to a company. It's out of Maryland here. It's Integrata Security. It's a company that's a startup. They formed right around our technology. A year later, they have 10 employees and have a lot of growth and good traction. And so we're just excited that, I mean, we're talking a lot about open source software this morning, but the other side of the house, if you will, is patents and the licensing of our patents. And we're just excited about this national recognition of how our team has worked with the local entrepreneurial ecosystem to help grow and grow businesses and create jobs.